Would you say your interactions with the company have been productive at all, or at least do you feel heard? And also with, I'm wondering about town council, your initial reaction with the public hearing, the process, and eventually the vote for the OCP.
A number of us have met with the proponent. Initially, myself and another gentleman, Rob, we met with Darcy and Hoffa for 3 hours, actually, and we heard their story, and we shared some of our concerns. And I felt that was a productive meeting. At least we heard each other, and we established some rapport. I knew Hoffa previously a little bit, not well. I knew him. I didn't really know Darcy. I'd met his parents before. And then we've met on subsequent occasions. And I think that the dialogue has gone pretty good for the most part. What we did find, though, is that when we shared our concerns, they listened, but we're not sure beyond just hearing it. They didn't come back with many adjustments. In fact, very, very little. So there was very little sense of, you know, here's our concerns and here's how we might be able to modify it. So we as citizens, when we shared concerns, we felt like we weren't being heard to the point that they actually changed their proposal or even modified it.
Right. Now, of course, there was one little tweak, according to Hoffa, in the interview that I had with him. This is a heavy industrial project. That's of concern in downtown Terrace. But there was a creation, according to Hoffa, at the company's request, of a special industrial zone that kind of limits what can go there. You know, the sawmill that used to be there wouldn't be able to be built there. You know, any sort of heavy industrial use that's not related to this transloading facility wouldn't be able to be built there without another rezoning. Did that quell any sort of concerns, at least in the industrial use area? We'll get to what other uses this area could use.
I can comment on that. So yeah, they did change it from a general heavy industrial use to a rail industrial use. And we don't really see that as an improvement. I mean, I'm happy in one sense that it won't allow for manufacturing sawmills, a cement plant, or something like that in the middle of town. However, in industrial zoning for railway use does mean that not only Progressive Ventures could operate this facility there once it's built, but that they would be in a position to sell it. And they could sell it to whoever, including CN or some other entity like CN. And so the fact that Progressive Ventures has one proposal to develop a transload facility. However, once that railway zoning is there, other railway-related things could happen there. And it's still heavy industrial rail-related in the middle of town. So the handling of dangerous goods, and if a developer or a railway entity stores containers there down the road, CN or somebody else, currently the city has a limit on how high you can go, and that's 3 containers, 25 feet high. But given CN's history across the country, we think there's a very strong likelihood that an operator like CN or somebody who's working and getting pressure from CN, that plant or that transload facility could look quite a bit different than what Progressive is currently proposing. So that's one of our concerns down the road, is that once you change it to railway use, and it becomes a transload facility that's built out, it could change hands down the road. And what we're being told as a public what it would look like could look dramatically different down the road. And in Prince Rupert, there was a proposal to just recently last summer to develop a temporary storage yard near a bunch of residential homes. People looked into it, and what they did is they researched the port, a good place to do some homework, and they found out that light and noise would be factors if that development went through in close proximity to a residential neighbor. So they went with the neighborhood. So they went with their concerns to City Council in Rupert, and they voted it down as a city. And so for us to think that, you know, we shouldn't really be concerned about potentially having a transload facility in town. The way it stands right now, there is concern, but down the road, the visual impact and the noise and the light could grow substantially And we feel like that's a real concern, especially when you change the zoning. And this property is, you know, it's right in the middle of town. And so that's one of our big, big concerns, is that it's a stone's throw away from the new hospital. It's across the street. And it's right beside our ambulance station. And right behind that, to the north of that, is the police station. And to the north of that is the Terrace City Hall. And so there's just a lot of key infrastructure in our community that's right nearby there. And so, we have a number of basic concerns, and I can get into that a bit more down the road. But just by way of introduction, I wanted to let you know that in terms of the zoning change and the potential for that to be changed now that the appeal has gone forward, no, not the appeal, but there was a public hearing, and now that the OCP has changed, the next step would be the zoning change, and we're concerned about this process.
Mm-hmm. And we can get into those concerns in a bit. Let's go with what you want to be there, because this is Downtown Terrace, but Downtown Terrace isn't the same as all communities. This is right by the highway, right by rail line. That's why they're able to build this project. Keith Estates was something proposed. The big plan was drawn up in October 2014. And no takers really came forward, as far as I can tell, in building this. It might be remediation costs. I'm not too sure why. But why do you think there are no takers? And why do you want something similar to this idea with, you know, the walking paths, the green space, and a denser, at least, residential area in this part of Terrace?
Well, I think that one of the reasons that this property is, you know, sat vacant for a long time is that remediation cost is a factor. It's also a very big chunk of land, and there was various players that owned pieces of it. So one of the things that Progressive Ventures did is they bought multiple parcels of land and they bundled them together. So I think one of the obstacles was something that Progressive Ventures encountered, was that you had to do the hard work of actually acquiring the property. The site there, I think that there are basic components of the Keith Estates neighborhood concept plan that are very, very workable on that site. Maybe not residential so much, and that was something that came out in the Keith Estates neighborhood concept plan, but certainly commercial and light industrial, and possibly some other things. It could be a wonderful place to put some bigger things that maybe take some room and some space. It is 42 acres. Maybe a new regional hotel, maybe a new museum that highlights some of the amazing First Nations art in the area, maybe a carving shed next door to it, maybe a museum that highlights the life cycle of all the salmonoids in this area. So we think that there's some big ticket items that could anchor that site, in addition to some retail and some residential. And we also think that, given the fact that we have a new, exciting new hospital going into Terrace, and this is a regional hospital, this is not just a small new hospital build, this is a $450 million investment from the provincial government to upgrade the regional health care in this area. And so we think there's lots of opportunity for smaller shops and places that could support health care for the region. UMBC is right across the street. If they ever expanded their training for nurses and other related healthcare professionals, and they needed to rent some space or build some space, that might be an option. There's lots of potential for Terrace to use a site like this. And the other real factor is Terrace does not have that much available land in terms of bigger parcels to develop something. And so to put railway and a rail-related infrastructure on that big chunk of property, be over two-thirds would be rail-related, I think it really shrinks the amount of developable land in our downtown core.
Yeah, it would absolutely do that. There's also a buffer zone. Are you kind of looking forward to, or do you understand what the company or no maybe what the company plans with that particular part, if there's any tenants. You had mentioned the UNBC, you had mentioned a lot of ideas that might be able to go in this buffer zone, or do you see that as kind of a just supporting the rail part of the project?
Well, it remains to be seen who might necessarily actually want to locate in there along Keith, for instance, even along Kenny. And, you know, a building that's even one or two stories high, will that buffer the sounds of trains and things like that? Maybe a little bit, but it visually it certainly make a difference. But you still have, in the middle of town, you have a railway entity, and I'm not sure if the city or Progressive Ventures really understands the full implications of buffering and what maybe needs to happen in terms of Canadian guidelines. When we've raised issues about appropriate recommendations from the National Railway Association and the Federation of Canadian Municipalities in terms of best practices, we were scolded for why would you want to take it that seriously? These are just suggestions. Well, I would submit that they're more than suggestions. This is a national association, two of them, Canadian Federation of Municipalities and the National Railway Association, that are saying that when you expand a rail yard within 300 meters of either residential or other types of infrastructure, here's the type of processes that you might want to go through. And it is something that we think that the City of Terrace needed to look at more fully, especially the staff. We don't see any dialogue from the staff to the city council on a couple of key issues, and that's one of them. Why aren't we talking about these basic standards? We didn't come up with them. National organizations did. And one of the things that we're going to do this coming week, myself and one of the other persons that's involved in our ad hoc group, is we've actually reached out to the City of Toronto and their planning staff. And we're having a phone conversation this Monday just to talk about some of the things that they've learned about railway safety and in proximity to residences and other key infrastructure. So we're not alone as communities in northern BC. This is something that happens all across the country. And we think that national recommendations should be taken seriously. And there may be some local tweaking, but certainly we need to have that discussion at the city level, and we also need to have that discussion at the council level. And I might want to add one more key thing. Mm-hmm. We feel that the way this process went forward, that the city planners looked at some issues, but instead, like when Progressive Ventures came to the city, I believe it was in November of 2019, and they came and they were wanting to conceptualize and talk about the potential of putting a transload facility in this location. We think that would have been the ideal time for the city to say, you know what, we've just recently had a citizen engagement process. It was happened back in 2014, and subsequent to that, we've made that process and that report, the Keith Estate Neighborhood Concept Plan, part of our official community plan. And we think that we may need to redo a review of that before we can even consider and go forward. We thought that would have been due process. We feel like that would have protected the public interest. And instead, there's some basic things like that we think should have taken place at the city planning level and engage the city council more fully with potential challenges down the road if a rail infrastructure facility was being proposed on a piece of property that had just gone through a whole process and the city had recently adopted as part of their official community plan. And one of the reasons they're called official community plans is because they have engaged the citizens of that community. It's not the official council plan, it's the official community plan. And so we think that they need to be respected and there needs to be due process if you're going to change that. And so, yes, we had a public hearing, but even leading up to that, when we had questions for the city council, they said, we can't talk because we have a public hearing coming up. So our ability to, as a community, to engage on some critical issues, not that we have all the answers, not everything had to go the way that we thought it should go, but we wanted to talk about it. We had concerns. And so we were very limited in our ability to really dialogue significantly with the city. And I don't think that's healthy planning. So it's been frustrating for people that have some concerns. We felt like they weren't taken seriously by the process, and we felt they weren't taken seriously by the city council for the most part.
Yeah, that's an interesting quirk when it comes to municipalities, is if they pass a first reading ahead of a public hearing, they can't speak with anybody, which I don't know if that makes any sense, but maybe it's from...
Yeah, it's a bit funny, isn't it?
It's something from a long time ago, maybe, that they're holding on to across BC. But you had mentioned a couple things there. I guess public engagement, there's a public hearing, of course, and I assume you took part. What was your takeaway there? And the effect of COVID, everything being online, do you think that also affected the process?
Well, I can comment on that. So our ability as a community to engage in this issue was definitely affected by COVID. So for instance, I know a friend who was concerned. She's, you know, in her early 30s. She had some concerns, but just because, you know, you couldn't get together with backyard barbecues over the summer or into the early fall. So her ability to talk with other potential people in her network of friends was restricted. And so the ability for people to talk freely about this was hampered, you know, and our ability to engage with city council. I mean, once this process went through, you know, the first reading, they didn't want to talk to us anymore, and I understand that. But it was a bit awkward because the decision makers that were going to make the decision, they said we can't talk, and they didn't respond to our emails, and so it was frustrating on that level. But COVID also affected our ability to have a public hearing. Now, the upside is that a lot of people could engage and watch this process. And I want to say kudos to the city support staff. I think they did a really good job. I think the mayor did an excellent job of facilitating the meeting. And I think the staff there worked really hard to make this a workable situation. But even there, when we had the public hearing, by that point, it's no longer a debate or discussion. It's people presenting their final arguments and their final conclusions. So the need to have a debate as to what do we need for our community going forward, and we believe that a facility like this will shape the future of Terrace. And so that ability to have that conversation, it was impacted by COVID, but it was also impacted by the fact that the city made some choices along the way like it did. And that came from the city planning staff, but also the city council. And the other thing that's very significant is when you look at some of the early decisions that led up to where we're at today, for instance, when you go back to when the transload feasibility study was put together, that was a study that was commissioned, I believe it was in 2018, and the city applied for $100,000 from a rural dividend fund, and they did get that money. And they also put in $25,000 from their own, from our own coffers here as a city. And so that study looked at the possibility of sites for a transload facility within the confines of the city of Terrace. Now, that study was pretty narrow in its focus. It was mainly on, you know, where does it work economically? And it was a very narrow mandate. And they wanted to restrict the sites primarily to the city of Terrace. If the people that were doing the study wanted to look out at sites outside the city limits, they would have to get permission from the, I think it was the manager of public works or something like that. So anyways, pretty restrictive study. The other thing that happened, though, is that the this piece of property was included, allowed to be included in that study. And I think that that was a very significant failure on behalf of the city staff and as well the city council to shield and protect that property that had just actually previously been designated as light industrial and commercial. And so the very fact that the city planning staff and the city council entertained that piece of property in the transload feasibility study, I think the the situation that we're in now goes all the way back to that decision. And I think it's problematic. I don't think that's good governance. I don't think that was the city getting its dollar value from the city planners. I don't think the city council did its due diligence at that point to protect and respect the process that had led up to the official community plan. And so there were numerous times when, brakes should have been slowed down a little bit, in my opinion, and they just weren't forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the fact that OCPs, official community plans, are usually done every few years altogether, looking at the town or city completely as a whole. So, of course, this study focused on that this one project, and you did bring up the fact that if there's any options outside of the city, those, of course, would involve other municipalities. It is unique in that way. But I wanted to talk about issues you have with the facility itself. Now, you mentioned light, noise, and then safety. One of the things Hatha, the vice president, said about one of the anchor tenants, or one of the things that would be coming every day, because he had a few ideas for some, odd right. boutique is how he described it, options, is diesel fuel. Of course, diesel fuel's being brought in by truck now, and lots of stuff is on that rail line right now. I actually live by the rail line, and there are plenty of explosive materials that go by every day. How do you think this changes anything when it comes to safety, and what other issues do you have?
Well, in terms of handling, things like diesel, it's one more thing that can burn being handled on a regular basis in downtown Terrace. And Hatha stressed that they're going to be rigorously following safety protocols. That's a given. The bigger issue is, why are we handling that in the middle of a downtown corridor? So one of the reasons that we have good civic planning is that we protect residential areas and key infrastructures away from things that can potentially cause harm. And cities and municipalities around the world have learned that there's places that cause less risk to the general population in terms of where you put things, then and those things need to be factored in to locations. So yeah, diesel, I realize that diesel comes in here by truck, and the idea of shipping diesel in on transloading facilities, I think it's a good idea. I'm still concerned about the location. And one of the things that I haven't mentioned yet is that right on the edge of Terrace, the Kitsum Kalem First Nations, they have currently an operational transload facility. It's not fully developed, but it is operational, and our local sawmill is producing pellets, and they are working with the Kitsum Kalem Band, and they're shipping pellets out of that facility. And so the argument that we need a transload facility in the middle of Terrace, because, people need diesel, people need other, building supplies, people need hot tubs and other types of things, convenience stores that bring in bulk materials instead of trucking it in. They could bring it in by transload facilities, and that would maybe be a cost savings to these local businesses. I think that could be very well true, and shipping is expensive in the north. However, an extra few minutes out of town is something that's very doable. And I think that the case, the business case to put a transload facility in this location when there is currently one being developed and is currently operational at the Kitsum Kalum First Nations, we need to look at that as a community. And I'd even go back earlier that one of the restrictions placed on the transload feasibility study was that there was no dialogue with Kitsum Kalum First Nations band at that point, or Kitsilis. And both of these First Nations, our immediate neighbors, were already looking at transloading facilities. And so the study was really a attempt to capture taxes for the city of Terrace, and some of the checks and balances that you might hope would be in a city like Terrace to safeguard something. It just wasn't there.
Now, the Kitsum Kalum example that you gave, is that right in their community as well?
Yeah, that's on their reserve land, and it's right. You got to go across the Kalum River. It's a big piece of industrial property. I think it's over 400 acres, and they have a business that they've been doing for a while. They've partnered with CN, and they have an aggregate business. They've been gradually taking off the side of a mountain, and that rock that they can get from that site is in high demand for rail beds. I think they even use it for something along the lines of landing strips, but it's a high demand product.
So next moves, March is the expected time frame for a rezoning hearing and vote. Your ad hoc group, yourself, what kind of things will you be doing ahead of that?
Well, I mean, we accept the fact that the decision makers, the city council, met on Friday, and they made a decision to approve the OCP amendment. There was one, the youngest councillor on the council, Jessica, and she voted to not support that decision. I think that was very brave of her. I think that's very commendable. But our next concern would be is that there still has to be a zoning change, and I would hope that the city of Terrace would do some due diligence. I think it would be really prudent for them to look at the national standards, to look at what the National Railway Association has put together, and look at what the Canadian Federation of Municipalities has put together. I mean, it's a bit pre-Limigantique. It was issued in 2013, but it still has bearing on this application. And so we think that that should be looked at. We would hope that they would reflect on the fact that another thing that happened the day of the hearing, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in Prince Rupert, the Port of Prince Rupert, the day of the hearing, received $25 million from the BC government.
Yes, I did see.
And
that.
In addition, they've received additional funds from the federal government to the tune of about $50 million. And so, you know, with that type of money going into developing a transload facility in Prince Rupert, that's really big. How does that affect this development here in the heart of Terrace? So I think it's fair to ask the developer, is this still a viable project? Is this still workable for you? I would hope that the city would ask those questions of the developer. And the other thing I'd like to see is that the developer come forward with, is there any major investor in this project other than Progressive Ventures? We've heard hints of that, but I think that would be valuable information for the citizens of Terrace to know. Maybe the city council knows, maybe they don't. Is that third-party investor currently a major player in the Northwest? Is it the Port of Prince Rupert? Is it CN? Is it somebody else? We don't know. So that would be a helpful thing for the city of Terrace to know and just have full disclosure around that.
Yes, that's about $75 million the federal and provincial governments announced going to Port of Prince Rupert for transloading. 200 jobs, they said, going to the Ridley Island Export Logistics Platform. And like you mentioned, a big part of the inland port in Terrace. big part of the business anyway would be to hold on to containers that an overflowing Port of Prince Rupert couldn't store anywhere. And with this, that might change. I think it was 70 acres, they said, this investment that the province and the feds are putting money into. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the company reacts to that and what they tell council. I guess my last question would be the support for the project. Now, of course, surveys are kind of unscientific, I'd say, just because of who votes and how it's held and sample size. But the city of Terrace does say that there's strong support for the project. Are you seeing why that support is happening? Are there reasons maybe that people support it or don't support it? And can people kind of switch for one reason or another?
You know, if you look at the public hearing itself, most people say that it was pretty close, for and against. You know, some people think it's a great idea. It provides jobs. Other people are concerned about location. And so the support for the project going forward is mixed in the community. Now, one of the good things that came out of the public hearing with the councillors looking in on this was that during the meeting on Friday morning, councillors did express a desire to really hold Progressive Ventures' feet to the fire if this does go through and build this out in such a way that it's as least visually obtrusive as possible and as safe as possible. So I think that will be one of the key things going forward to get support from the larger community. I think people have a lot of concerns about location. If it's going to be built there, though, and that's a decision of council, then the next question is, well, then it has to be built in such a way that it's safe and it's as livable as possible. My preference would be not to have it there. And there's one other issue that I haven't raised, and that whenever you do a development like this, I think I've mentioned a little bit, but the long-term impact on a project like this for Terrace may have some funny twists and turns. I realize it's immediate and people want to get the tax dollars, but you really need to play out big infrastructure projects 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And the fact that the Terrace City owns, and it's a bit of a development along with the partnering with the Kitsilis First Nations, the Skeena development lands up by the airport, and that's a huge chunk of property. So when you think about it, okay, Prince Rupert's got a large transload facility. It's going to get federal dollars. It's hard to do development there, but the federal government and the province are putting in significant cash. We have currently a other facility operating here at Kitsum Kalem that's just on the edge of Terrace. If you build one in downtown Terrace, the likelihood that a train facility being built as a transload facility up at the airport where they may need it more immediately to ship goods, that complicates that down the road. I don't think Terrace has a need for three of these facilities within the space of, you know, 15 minutes away from each other. The transload feasibility study initially said that it was marginal at best if one of these was viable. Now, the reason I think the one downtown that's being put forward by Progressive Ventures was viable was because of extra cargo coming out of Rupert. So it remains to be seen what they do. I think that Progressive Ventures is a good local company, and I can understand why a lot of people are concerned about jobs. That can be a big issue if you're unemployed. But to argue that this facility has to be in the middle of town to make it functional and feasible for people to walk to work or bike to work, maybe these people should try to get a job if they really want to work in transloading out at Kitsum Kalem or, you know, that type of thing. I think that the argument that we need this for our local economy, I think, is weak. We do need to grow our local economy, but I have one other thing that I've observed. I was in a unique position when the first transload facility was built in the province. I lived in Prince George at the time, and I was there actually at the grand opening. I had a friend that was in town. He wanted to see it. He's elderly. He was in his 80s at the time. I had no idea this was going on, but he wanted to go there. he needed a ride. Could I take him? So I went to this thing. And I was there when they had the ribbon cutting and the ground opening. When you look at how the Prince George transload facility has played out over the last number of years, I think it was developed initially in 2007, it has helped the Prince George area. However, when I did my initial research back in August, the main people that are using that are existing industries. Lumber is using it. Pulp and paper are using that. Pellets are using that. And the fact that you might think that that would be a stimulus to local business to build whatever, that really hasn't really happened. And even if you're a shipper out of Quesnel or Williams Lake or Vanderhoof, and you're a business, for instance, that makes log houses and you want to ship them to Japan or China or Taiwan, and we have companies like that in that area, you may think twice of using the transload facility in Prince George. And that's because it might be cheaper and more cost effective and faster simply to stuff a container and take it off to either Prince Rupert or to Vancouver by rail. And the rule of thumb for most of these transload facilities, if you talk to people that are aware of how they operate, is one about every 500 miles. And so the fact that we have one that's going to be big in Prince Rupert will service the Terrace area. We also have an immediate one that is in Kitsum-Kalem, and that will service the Terrace area. I hope if they build it, there is a business case for building one in Terrace, but I guess that remains to be seen.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much for your time, Charles. I appreciate this, and I'm sure we'll catch up again.
Sure.
Yeah, so that meeting is expected in March. Keep an eye on terrace.ca. There's some information on the Keith Estates, the Inland Port, and, of course, everything else Council does. Thanks again, Charles.
Okay.